complicated. Off the drain, we concentrated. I know you won't leave me hanging. Smoking weed out the container. We spend cash for entertainment. There's more where that came from, that's all I'm saying. It's me and you, and we making arrangements.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl Didi back again with another Didi's Daily Dose. I know it's been a little while. I've been working. Life really been kicking my ass. But guess what? We back and we have our treat for you guys today. But I want you guys to go ahead and jam out to a little bit of that sativa first, okay? All right.
Yeah, the dreams are on me. I said now go and take a shot on me. Only drug a bitch you saw is a treat. But I lasted 10 rounds like a freak, like a G.
I know you won't leave me hanging. Smoking weed out the container. We spend cash for entertainment.
Woo! All right, how y'all doing? Okay, so I definitely have a treat for you guys today. I'm joined by two very beautiful women. I have Miss T. Jackson and Miss Vanessa Jones. You guys say what's up.
Hey, everybody. It's T.
What's up, y'all? It's Vanessa.
And so you guys know here at Didi's Daily Dose, our number one rule is transparency, and number two is telling your truth. So I'm going to go ahead and let the girls introduce themselves. T, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is T. I am 23 years old. I graduated with Didi, of course, from Alabama State University.
Ooh,
and now I'm in law school. That's pretty much all I do. One of my fun facts is that I am in love with the new body and embracing yourself and really just being free. And it doesn't even have to be in a sexual way. But, yeah, one of the things that I'm trying to get into is new yoga.
That sounds so fun. Do you know where a new yoga studio is?
I actually don't know where any are in conservative Alabama. But, you know, I'll just work in my apartment from now.
Vanessa, girl, what's up?
What's up?
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am Vanessa. I'm 24. I also graduated from Alabama State. I'm currently in graduate school at Clark Atlanta University. And, yeah, I'm just here trying to find my way, you know.
Give us a fun fact about you, too.
I've always been a dancer, so right now I'm just trying to find myself in, I guess, that whole little situation, just trying to embrace dance. It's really like a happy place for me, so.
What type of dancing do you do? We're talking exotic, African,
really
jazz,
like,
classic.
I love all types, but right now I'm kind of like into the whole heel and sexy type dance.
Okay, we see. You're going to have to drop a
floor
link.
Work.
Yeah, floor work.
You teach
work,
me some of
know,
that.
Trying to get in the pole.
Okay.
Trying to get into the pole, so you know.
So, ladies, let me ask you this. If you had to define this chapter in your life, you know, you're 24, you're 23,
mm-hmm.
What would you define it as?
What the fuck?
Why?
Man, nobody told me that life was going to be this shitty as an adult. Like,
oh my God.
it's so hard, bruh. It's so hard. It's just like, we're kind of like in a funny...
Another great
place.
Area of life, like,
yeah, like
I can't pay bills,
yeah.
But I want to be grown,
right?
You
it's
know,
like it's like a lot. We want to do a lot of stuff, but it's like, damn, how am I gonna do this shit? And I got this to worry about, and this to worry about, and it's just
like
adulting. It's just
trying
garbage.
To find a medium between being young, but still like taking care of business,
right?
Because if I honestly could be a fucking Instagram model.
I would.
I wouldn't turn that shit down at this if point. I ain't gonna lie to
you. I'm saying if I had the opportunity to not work, to not have a day job, and just do what I love, and my bills could still get paid, that shit would be awesome.
Yeah.
And so it's like trying to find a medium, because eventually you want your career, your job to be what you love and not to be, you know, stuck at a 9-to-5 working for someone else.
Right.
But to get an entry level job, you need fucking 5 years of experience. Mm-hmm. So it's just like, what's up, bro? Like, it don't make no sense.
Exactly.
So what would you call this chapter in your life, T?
This chapter of my life is about, I guess it would be a question. What do you really want? I'm slowly but surely just kind of taking away all of these things that society has put in my head and what friends and what family has put in my head about what success looks like, about how life is supposed to go, and really just embracing it for myself. And I'm starting to realize a lot of things that I don't want to do traditionally.
Yeah. Like what? So, marriage?
Yeah, marriage. Marriage is one of those things.
You don't think you want to get married?
I don't think I want to get
Shit.
Married. Yeah.
You don't want to get married?
I'm not completely opposed to it, but I don't feel like it has to be a defining factor in my life right now.
As a woman, or... Because I feel like as women from birth, we are groomed to find a companion.
I wasn't.
And that be, you weren't? Tell me a little bit about your childhood. Like,
well, I have 6 siblings. I grew up in a large household. 2 parents, 3 brothers, 3 sisters, mm-hmm. and me. And I feel kind of in the middle, close to the end. So, you know, the middle child gets overlooked a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have not too much bad to say, I guess. But it was just like I saw both of my parents in the household and they had a good marriage, you know. So for me, that was what was normal. Like, I didn't have a mom that was constantly seeking, wanting to be a man and stuff, because mm-hmm. I saw that comfort.
So with you saying that, why don't you seek that comfort too?
I personally just don't, you know, I vibe with myself. I think that we all have stuff that we don't tell people, and I find it very scary that, you know, you can really not know somebody who you think you really do know and love. And I don't know, I just feel like, you know, don't nobody got me like me. I know what I like, I know what I dislike, I know that I can handle myself. And at this point, so far, I haven't felt like a man could actually take on the role of being a leader to me. I'm not opposed to it, but somebody would have to really be up for that challenge. Like, and you have to be better than my dad. Like, he was, you know, not the best all the time, but to me, he is the best example of a man that I've ever seen. So I feel like it's hard to surpass that, honestly. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about, we'll come back to you. Tell me a little bit about, what was the damn question?
What was the question? That turned into a lot.
It did turn into a lot.
We started talking about the chapter.
The chapter. We were talking about the chapter in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then
how I didn't want to be traditional, yeah. And I didn't want marriage.
So what do you think about that?
Well, me personally, I will always want to get married. I feel like because I've had like that example in my household growing mm-hmm. up, like my mom, my dad was like perfect relationship. I wouldn't say perfect because relationships aren't perfect, but like from what I've seen, from what they've shown me, like.
You speaking in past tense. Are they not together anymore?
No, my father is deceased. So, yeah. But, yeah, they were like the perfect, in my eyes, they were like the perfect marriage, the perfect couple. Never heard them argue. They never argued in front of me or any of my siblings.
I feel
like,
it.
Yeah, it was just perfect.
It's nice to hear that you guys had such great examples. I'm from the motherfucking hood.
Now, I love, and my parents were great.
Uh-huh.
As a couple. Now, that's it. We had a lot of kids, but I grew up poor as hell.
Okay.
So I feel like that might have something to do with it as well. It's like, you know, I think I can take care of myself better than
a man can.
Yeah.
Growing up poor, like, how did that affect you, or what residual effects do they have on you today?
On me today? I think that has made me more of a loner, honestly, because I really, really just... I'm a minimalist. Like, I don't feel like I have to go out all the time. I don't feel like I have to spend money. I don't have to have the nicest, newest
stuff.
How
poor were y'all? Like, give me an example. Like, was y'all sharing packs of ramen noodles?
What was it like? one of the most vivid things to me is that, and that takes me to a different place. But during the summertime, if you have been poor, you realize that is the worst time to not have money, because you don't have the breakfast that school provides you anymore. You don't have the lunch. And that was two important meals, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't realize that, but over the summer, like, we was struggling for real. And my birthday is over the summer, so I never really got to enjoy that completely with like a birthday party or anything. But I remember it was one time, like, we couldn't, I guess we didn't have enough food stamps or whatever. And the last things that we had in the cabinet was literally just a whole bunch of peanut butter, because my little sisters were so young at the time, and WIC provides peanut butter for you. So we had to eat peanut butter for, I know, at least a week. And it was literally one of the worst times of my life. I still don't like peanut butter to this day.
I was going
to
ask you, do you like peanut butter now?
I don't. I can deal with it a little bit better because it's been, you know, a long time. But I would not touch no peanut butter crackers, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, nothing. Like, because we literally had to eat it with nothing, like, for days. And they say when you're a kid, if you don't want something, you're not hungry for real. But it's awful when you have to eat the same thing over and over. But
that's how I feel about sandwiches.
For you, like, how, okay, Vanessa, how old were you when your dad passed?
I was in the seventh grade, so I'm thinking 12.
Not 12.
Yeah, I was 12. Yeah.
And so what happened?
So my father, he was a police officer, and he died in the line of duty. Got into a car accident. It was like I wouldn't say a freak accident. It was a car accident. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's how was life following it? Knowing, you know, you had such a great relationship with your dad, and then having to go out, you know, the next day knowing he was gone.
I guess at that time it was very difficult for me and my family. But as I got older, it's like, that's life. And, you know, you never know what God has planned for you. So, I mean, it's still difficult sometimes. I'm getting a little teary-eyed, a little emotional. But,
Girl, I'm teary-eyed for you, honestly.
Yeah, but it's like, now it's just like, it's life, you know, and it's just become something that you just have to deal with, because what can you do about it, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you guys, we're going to take a really brief break. We'll be right back with you. Y'all enjoy some of this J. Cole ATM, okay?
Typical. I wanted it physical. $1 million I count up in intervals. Without it, I'm miserable. Don't want to fall off, so I'm all in my bag. Thinking God like it's biblical. I know it's gonna solve every problem I have. I bought on the principle. Remember the teachers is all on my ass. Now look, all of them pitiful. And all of a sudden, I'm so good at math. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Can't take it when you die, but you can't live without it. Count it up, count it up, count it up. Count it, count it up, count it up, count it up, count it, count it up, count it up, count it up, count it. Can't take it when you die. Uno, dos, tres. Big pills, big pills. I fell in love with big wheels and quick thrills. My niggas running tip drills. Can't sit still. Don't give a fuck if it kills. It mixed well. I'm only counting big pills, big pills. I fell in love with big wheels and quick thrills. My niggas running tip drills. Can't sit still. Don't give a fuck if it kills. It mixed well. I'm only counting.
Hey Hey, you guys. So we're back. Ooh, that does sound a little crazy. But anyway, so yes, we're back. And so, what is something that you experienced growing up that you know for a fact? Like, I'm not dealing with this shit today. What's something that you've experienced growing up that you just, if you ran into that situation today, you're going to kick that situation ass?
I'm going to kick that situation's ass. Oh, God.
Take your time.
Can I think on it for a second?
Sure, girl. I'm telling you, think on it. All right. So what do you think it'll be? If it came back around today, it's on and popping.
It's on and popping. The main thing that sticks out to me is just childhood abuse, like sexual abuse in particular, because I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I would hope that I could be a little more
strong.
Yeah, strong. In defending myself, I suppose. But also, I can turn it around to, like, that's kind of why I'm afraid to have kids now. It's because I don't think I would trust many people with them. And yeah, like, it'd be the closest people to you that you really can't trust.
With sexual abuse?
Yeah.
I think that's something that's so swept under the rug in Black communities.
Yeah, definitely.
I honestly feel like when your uncle, like, and this is just an example of, like, if your uncle touch you and you go tell your mom, like, they may have a falling out, but she's not going to call the police. Like, he's not going to receive no real repercussions for his actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that's so disheartening, because that causes so much traumatic experience growing up, like, with your relationship with men, with your friends, with just even with your dreams, like, still having nightmares about certain things. And just knowing that the person that did it is still walking around.
Literally, right there. You got to see them all the time.
Like, in your particular situation, do you have to see that person all the time?
All the time, yeah. And to me, I've grown a lot since that situation, but I feel like it's still like an underlying uncomfort, mm-hmm, or discomfort that I feel whenever I'm around that person, or just around my family in general, honestly, because it's like,
did your family know?
Yeah, my dad actually walked in on it.
Wow.
I don't think I told you that part, but yeah. So it was pretty big.
What was the reaction when your dad walked in on it?
I can tell now that he tried to remain calm, because it was like, you know, he didn't want to startle me. Obviously, I was six at the time, so I didn't really know what was going on for real, but my dad, he walked in. Actually, the guy tried to like make me hide or whatever, because I was naked, of course. And my dad walked in and he saw what was going on. He like immediately separated us, of course, and went and did his thing. But
you say he did his thing, he whooped him?
Yeah. It was a full-on beatdown, honestly. And it was confusing to me, honestly, because it was like, you know, whenever you get babysat or anything like that as a kid, you're told to do whatever the person tells you to do. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it was just like, oh, now I realize this is something bad, obviously, because
this just turned my home. Do you remember it vividly because you were six?
I don't remember every single time it happened, like, all the time, because it happened a lot, honestly. But I, it's very vivid. Feelings, places that it happened, the reasons why, like, he definitely had a strategy and a system that I played into. So,
do you feel like if you face something like that today,
like, what? Somebody trying to
abuse you, or you know, you being in a compromising position that reminds you of that particular situation, do you feel like you would be in a position to make a decision to not fall victim to it, or what do you think your reaction would be now?
It's pretty awful, but I feel like there are normally three responses, which is fight, flight, or freeze.
I'm glad and you said freezer. That because a lot of people say it's only fight or flight.
And it's
but
not.
It's definitely that freeze is very real. Mm-hmm. And it's exactly what the word is. You're stuck in that moment because it's traumatizing.
Yeah, don't even know what to do or how to react.
So you feel like your reaction would be to freeze?
I do feel like naturally I would want to freeze, but I'm more bold now. So I feel like at some point I would be able to speak up for myself. I do speak up for myself, but overall I really just try to stay away from situations. Like when I say I don't really trust men, like this ain't to bash men or whatever, but I don't have male friends and I don't want them.
And like, it's because,
and
that of
that? Because of that, honestly, yeah. I don't want to find myself in a situation where it's like, oh, you know,
somebody who you maybe trusted betrayed you.
Maybe she wants it. Hell no, I don't. Like, I ain't even gonna let you get that far to even think I like you as a friend, for real, to be with you alone.
So, do you have a hard time being with men alone if it's not like your partner?
If it's not my partner, I don't want to talk to you at all. Like, I just don't care to have much conversation with men. And I have started to think back over my life, of course. Like I said, like, who are you? What do you really want? That's what I've been thinking about a lot. And it's just like, you know, it takes you back to the reason why you really are the way you are. So I've done a lot of soul searching, and I realized that a lot of my thoughts and generalizations of men come from that situation.
All right. Well, you guys, we're going to take another brief break. We're just going to kind of love on each other for a little minute. So give us a couple seconds, and we're going to play a little bit of Floetry to kind of set the mood, okay?
All right.
I've been watching you for a while, and you're smiling still. I don't know if I can be with you for the night. Alright, stay on crying, baby, baby. There is only one for me. You have made that possible. We could take that step to say, if this is really gonna be, all you gotta do is say yes. All you gotta do is say yes. Don't deny what you feel, let me undress you, babe. Open up your mind, just rest. I'm about to let you know, you make me so. All you gotta do is say yes. Don't deny what you feel, let me undress you, babe. Open up your mind, just rest. I'm about to let you know, you make me so, 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 so. You made me so, 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 so. Loving you has taken time, take time. But I always knew you could be mine, mine. I recognize the butterflies inside me. Sense is gonna be made tonight, tonight. All you gotta do is say yes. All you gotta do is say yes. Deny what you feel, let me undress you, babe. Open up your mind, just rest. I'm about to let you know, you make me so. Don't deny what you feel, let me undress you, babe. Open up
up your mind and just rest. I'm about to let you know you make me so, 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 so. You make me so, 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 so. You make me so, 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 so. You make me so, 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 so.
Vanessa, woo! What for you was something that you, from your childhood, that you would run from or that you would want, like, no parts of this in this very day and age?
For me, I haven't been through, like, anything super duper conflicting, but I guess, like, being the mean girl in school.
So you were a bully?
No, I wouldn't necessarily say bully.
I mean, were you walking around slapping bitches and taking their lunch money? Or like,
no, I was like, Regina George, you can't sit with us type.
Really?
Yeah.
So how did that translate over into like your adulthood or even with just growing up? Like, what brought you to the point where you feel like it's either me or them? So,
I mean, for me, when I it started when I moved.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah,
what pushed you into feeling like being a mean girl or feeling like this is what I'm gonna do?
Like transitioning from a new school, new people, trying to make new friends. I didn't really have to try much because people just kind of cling to me for some reason. I don't know why, but it was just like maintaining that status of being that bitch, kind of.
Okay. So even at a young age, it was like, I'm that bitch and everybody else followed me. Like it was on some New York, I'm the head bitch in charge, and was it on some, okay.
Pretty much. I mean, like, in elementary school, I always hung out with, like, the girls that were, like, up there. Like, that boss bitch type girls. I know it's kind of weird saying that, like, about.
So, at what point was it just like, I'm not going to be the nice girl, I'm going to be the mean girl?
I mean, it kind of started immediately. Like,
were people bothering you for you to be that way, or
no? Nobody ever really. You know what? I take that back. Actually, there was this one mean girl when I first moved, and I guess she kind of felt like I was taking like her friends or something like that. Because you know, people don't really care for the new girl, but everybody for some reason just loved me, and she hated me. And she was like, I don't know, she was just really mean. But
what did she used to do?
Like, she just used to talk shit. That was really it. She used to talk shit. Like, and like, we had like a mutual best friend, so my best friend would come and tell me like the shit that she would say, and you know, I used to confront her and be like what was that shit you was talking?
That's honestly the hardest situation in the world. I don't understand how, like,
confrontation?
No, like, having a friend that's friends with your enemy.
Yeah.
I don't think I just couldn't trust it. I don't think I could be in a situation where, like, you my friend, but you also friends with somebody who don't really, you know.
I mean, she was friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was friends with her first, but, like I said, I was a new girl, and everybody was just, like, wanted to be my friend. And I mean, that's cool. I think that's beautiful, because most of the time people don't really care for new people. But yeah, long story short, that girl ended up moving and I took all of her friends. Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. I just ended up being one of those bitches, one of those boss bitches.
Did you ever have a situation where you were like, had to deal with like a mean girl? Did you ever have a situation where you had to deal with like a mean girl?
Yeah, I had this group of girls that really tried to target me. They really just talked a lot of shit. I called them the gross sisters. One was real short, one was regular, one was big and tall as hell.
If you guys don't know that reference, it's from the Proud Family. If you've ever seen an episode of the Proud Family, then you know exactly who the gross sisters are.
Yep, just like that. It's just one blue.
What was your experience with them like? How did that end?
So it wasn't too horrible, because they didn't, you know, take my money or beat me up or anything like that. It was mainly just a lot of glares, but it was just really uncomfortable because I went to school with a lot of white people, not many black girls at all. So whenever there were black girls, we normally would, you know, be friends. Mm-hmm. I didn't have many friends at the time, so it was just really weird because they thought I was too cute and I didn't feel like I was really that cute.
They ain't really understand what the beef was all about.
I'm just like, damn, bitch, I'm not even the popping bitch.
Right.
And that's crazy, right? Because now, when you're in a situation and you don't understand, like, what's the problem? Like, what's really going on? But the thing about that, like, I went to a really good school, so that the situations like that, it's gonna come to a head. Like, it's gonna come to a boil. Like, we ain't finna keep staring at each other and just, you know, like, we gonna see what's up. Like, I did get bullied a lot, and especially in elementary school, because like you, I grew up really poor and I wasn't the most like well kept child. So it'd be a situation like my hair wasn't washed or some shit, and all the students would be like, well, I don't want to sit next to her, her hair stank. Just stuff like that. I'm like, bitch, shit, I don't want to sit by me either. I know my hair stank, but in there, I'm 5. Like, I can't do it. And so it used to suck, but it was just like, the sunny side of things was, I my older sister went to school with me, and she was like, beat a bitch up, yup. Like, she was really, like, she was a bully. Like, and she was really aggressive. So when situations used to happen, I would go get her, and she would literally take me back to that person and make me fight them. But the only thing that made it bad was like, okay, you finna go to class, and now my whole class finna probably whoop my ass, and I gotta wait for you after school. And
you gonna get a couple beat downs before then, right?
Exactly. It was this one particular situation kind of let me know young that I wasn't a fighter. And I've transitioned so much since then, but one day I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna fight on my own. And so me and this girl was talking mess back and forth, and I was like, when we go outside to the little recess, like, it's on. When I tell y'all, it was like 16 other kids with her.
Oh my god.
And they was chasing my ass. I ain't never been so scared in my life, y'all. I was like, what the fuck? This is what fighting is all about. I was like, hell nah, I don't want no parts of this. It was a whole class of kids chasing me. And like, that's when I knew, like, this shit ain't for me. Like, keep that shit. People ain't fighting for it. Because I knew I could take her. I was like, my sister be beating my ass, so I know how to fight. So I want her to bring her ass over here. But, baby, she came with an army.
That's so crazy. Like, people never really, I've never been in those situations like that, because people never really tried me. Like,
yeah, I didn't get in fights in elementary school.
Really?
Or like, never, no.
No, I've never been. I've never been into a fight.
Now, one girl should have almost gotten it, but because she spit in my face when I was
God.
I was like 8.
She talking and she spit, or she like hacked that shit up and spit in your face.
She was pissed at me and she hacked that shit
and spit in your face.
And spit in my face. And I've always been just so like, okay, think before you react to.
Yeah.
I've always been that way. And by the time I'm sitting there thinking if I want to whoop her ass or not, my brother, he's always been smaller than me, but he is my big brother. He was like, you better go whoop her ass. I mean, he was just like on fire already. He said,
you ain't, I will.
So he started running after everything. So I'm like, shit, I can't let my brother show me up. You know, he ain't supposed to hit girls. So I like started running after her. But I was a little tubby.
Tubby. It didn't really work out. She ran up in her house.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Was she white? No, she was mixed. She was a mixed girl.
Yeah, that sounds like some white people shit. Like, you just gonna spit in my face. That's some pumpkin shit. Like,
it was pretty awful. Like, I was telling somebody this story recently, actually. I said, you know, if I saw her today, honestly, I would have to do something. Like,
where did it land on your face?
I don't remember exactly on my face, but it was literally on my face.
Oh my.
It wasn't just like on the chin or no shit.
It just shit chills down my back. Like, I don't like when somebody make a mistake and spit. When they talking, you gonna Now, I can relate to the older sibling situation because I can think about this one situation in particular. It was this guy. Honestly, I feel like he was too old to be in our class. We was young. His name was Hakeem.
You know why?
And we had a girl in our class who had a learning disability. And so, like, she used to mind her own business, but it was very evident that, like, she had a learning disability. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, her eyes, she was cockeyed. And, her head just used to roll around, and he was just messing with her. And so one day I was just like, you know, I started taking up for her. And he was like, what you gonna do? I was like, I'm gonna see you at school because my sister gonna whoop your ass. And that's kind of what it was. And so, like, we waited and waited and waited for him after school, and he didn't come. So we started, like, walking home like we normally would. It was three of us, me and my two older sisters. We had got like a block. The dude came out of nowhere. He was on some karate, like, Pudetang shit. He just was, like, knocking everybody out. And, like, him and my sister, they were fighting, like, head to head. She was older than him, so she was handling him. He picked up a brick and hit her in the head. Mm. And so, you know, me, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm next. So he picked up this huge branch. And at the time, I had a bubble coat, and so I put the hood on my head really quick, and boom, he bust me upside the head. Honestly, the impact wasn't that bad because I had the hood on, but I still fell because I'm like, this nigga ain't finna keep hitting me. Like, I'm finna just act like he just knocked my ass out. You ever think about it? Like, somebody hit you hard enough, you ain't finna keep getting up. Like, but you hit me one time, okay, I see where we at, and I know, okay. And so, like, when he hit me, like, my sister went into a rage, and they really started fighting, and it was bad. And so, eventually, she subdued him enough to where we could run home. Because in the midst of them fighting, I'm looking for my other big sister. Like, come on, let's jump his ass. She was gone, y'all. It was like a trail of smoke where she was standing. Like, she took off. And so, when we made it home, like, my estranged father, like, was standing on the porch with a bat. And the dude would not come down the street, like, at all. And so, I see my other sister. I'm like, why did you leave? He's like, I went to go get help. Like, you whooped my ass all the time. You should have jumped in this fight. It was just something that was really, really crazy. And I just hated that situation. But it just let me know that, like, either fight or flight. Like, you sometimes you just don't have a choice. Whew. Okay. So, we're back. Well, actually, it's just me. Funny story. We took a break and went to get food, and yeah, so we kind of, they're gone. So it's just me. I really would love some feedback on today's episode. I really want to know what you guys thought. I know we got kind of hot and deep, and we touched some of the intangible topics, and so I just really want to know, you know, what you guys thought about it. Was it too much? Did you love it? Were you surprised? Were you intrigued? I really would enjoy you guys' feedback on today's episode. So again, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Didi's Daily Dose. And we're out.
Playboy bunny, where that nigga you have? When we pull off at the light, why empty? everything else get left. Why they screwing up they face? Why they looking a hot mess? Why they be like, no, they didn't? Them bitches is always shitting. My clock be tick, 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 and them chickens is finger licking. And that's why we doing breezy, stuntin' in Louis VZ. We straight without a permit. You bitches is stupid peasy. Would you like some rice with that? We get a lot of cheese, no mice with that. I mean, I want some ice with that. No soda, where your owner get your license back, ho.
All right, so now, just thinking about, like, the bullies and the things of, like, our time, or even, like, the girls who were just kind of out there when we were young, it kind of makes you reflect on, like, the women in today's society who just do too much too fast. And to each his own, but to me personally, I mean, just to reference the different guys I've talked to, I got a lot of guy friends. If you give something up too fast, it's like
you
take away the chase.
Yeah.
So what are you guys' thoughts as far as being fluent with a person that you meet, or being free with the person that you meet, like, off the back? What's, like, your, how do you feel about that?
The way I feel and the way I act is not,
they don't correlate.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, because I actually really feel like, girl, be yourself. If that's what you want, then you can go out and get it, you know? But at the same time, me personally, like I said before, I don't communicate as much with men, like, just initially. I don't get struck by them that easily.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it just takes more, like, oh, most of the time I've had sex with men in a relationship, and then, you know, I got, you know, one little waist.
One little body waist.
Yeah. Just
one little throwaway.
One little fun guy, you know.
What made you be like, you know what? Fuck it, come here. Like, what made you be like, all right.
I can do this.
Like, my inhibitions and all that out the window, like, come on.
I guess it's just, you know, you have to be with somebody that really knows you and knows that what you want and what you don't want. Neither of us wanted a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I literally don't. But there was a certain element of trust as well. So it's just like, you know, well, I don't feel like I've been with that many people, and I still, like, I don't have a steady partner, so I want to have one, you mm-hmm. know, and you can be it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple.
And so, Vanessa, what do you think about, like, possibly, like, a one-night stand or...
Ooh. I'm sorry. A mind with
no
one.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but, you know, coming strong soon. Care. What do you think about that?
I don't think I could ever do that shit.
Why?
Because I don't know you. You don't really know me. I don't know what you got, like, honey.
Let's just say you in a space. You on vacation. You in Cabo on vacation, and
I ain't hooking up with a damn soul.
I would make up my mind before I went.
So if Drake comes,
oh, then now see, that's a different story.
Why does it change though? Because he's a celebrity. He's still a man that you don't know.
Because he's a celebrity with money who I adore. I love Drake. Drake is my favorite. He's just my favorite.
Okay, so what if it was Neo?
Hell no.
No.
See that, and that's where the tables turn. Because honestly, for a really, really long time, I would save myself for Neo. And I just needed to... What the fuck is funny?
Because, bitch, Neo?
Yes, I was...
No, Neo.
I need... Okay. Anyway, I just felt like if I could just put myself in a space where he could see me, and the rest would be, you know... But I'm significantly younger than him. And then, like, he fucking got married 2 years ago, and I was just like, oh my God, like, what I'm supposed to do now?
You're keeping up.
Yeah, like, I'm like, I'm saving myself for this person, and they just gonna get married on me. But
you dodged the bullet, though, because Neo slick trash.
As far as what?
Oh, Lord.
He's handsome. His music is great. He's a great dancer.
For what he did.
In a relationship?
Yeah, for what he did.
Now, look, it's three sides to every story. Her side, his side, and the truth.
So,
He said he didn't do that. And at the end of the day, he didn't tie her ass to no table. She went on her own accord in an attempt to please her man. If y'all don't know the story, y'all gonna have to read up on it.
I don't know the story.
This ain't no gossip podcast, and I ain't finna slander Neo. I love you, Neo. But I mean, my conscience is really strong. I mean, you guys went to college with me, so you know that like my conscience hit me in the back of the head like a hammer. I can't dirty wine in the club with nobody for too long with being like, I gotta get his number. We gotta keep in touch. This was too much.
But you know what? I get it. Everybody is different. But I guess my thing with that is like, why is sex seen as something that we're not supposed to do? It's so natural.
Yeah.
I don't think it is so freeing.
It is, but my thing is, it's a soul tie. So in that moment, you and that person are one. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how many times are you going to become one with the person, with different people?
It
like, think about, and people don't see it, like somebody is inside of your fucking body. Like, somebody is literally inside of you. A part of their body is, you are one.
Yeah, I mean.
You know, they say the beast with two backs. And it's just like, with soul ties, you pick up traits from people. Like, all of a sudden, you know, you like shit that you didn't like. Or maybe you're in a mood that you don't necessarily recognize. Or just different. You pick that stuff up because you've tied souls with this person. And it's like, if me personally, I can't have a soul tie with this person, because it's going to affect me. Because they have different soul ties that have jumped onto them. So they're not even a person that they really want to be, because they cloud about all this other stuff. Like, promiscuity is today's norm. But to me personally, like, I have to know you and I have to desire you. Like, even when I'm drunk, I'm not the person who's just like, what I did, it's just like, I'm drunk, but I'm finna go home, because, you know, I don't want to ever be in a situation where I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh my goodness, what did I do? Yeah. Like, that's the worst feeling in the world. Like, to wake up and be like, what happened last night? And it's a nigga laying there. You like, you hungry? Why? And you just like, what the fuck's going on? So
I agree with it. I just think that you can, like, you can definitely like and latch on to multiple different people.
You can.
I mean, that's what happens in life anyway. And a lot of people ain't got no one.
I just feel
out anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I feel,
I'm
like
saying, go bust it open, hit 50.
I feel like when you do it too fast, too soon, and it's a mistake, it can be toxic.
Yeah.
And it's a mistake.
If it's something where you're not sure if you like that person, it can be toxic. It's like, I known you for a week. I think you're fine as hell. You know, you got money or whatever the case may be. Why not? Mm-hmm. And then a week later, I find out you don't believe in God. Well, I find out
that all up in me.
I'm exactly. I find out that you like to choke out cats in your spare time. Like, hey, it's something I want to affiliate myself with, but because I jumped the gun or because I was moving off the physical and not my heart, now I'm in this situation. And a lot of times, women are emotional creatures, and when that soul tie is put into place, we make irrational decisions. So we stuck on somebody who we know we shouldn't be stuck on, but we try to see around what they actually are, because of what we want them to be, because we are already in a situation. Yeah. How many times were you dating someone that you didn't have sex with and you just broke it off and it was just clean cut? That was it. And it wasn't hard.
Shit, I don't know. I've only dated twice.
I haven't dated that much, so.
But how easy is it to cut off someone that you've never slept with? Like, not even being in a relationship with, but like somebody maybe took you on a date or two and you realize, you know what, this ain't for me. You know, I gotta let them know.
Oh yeah, pretty simple.
But imagine if, you know, y'all went on a date or two and y'all done had sex.
Yeah.
So now it's like,
hard. That's the reason why I can't bust it open that quick.
Because I feel like when you
I'm
have
free,
sex,
but
like,
gotta
it
wake
creates
up.
Different emotions, different feelings.
It clouds your thought.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I know this nigga, you know, he be choking out cats in his spare time and, you know, he be sticking up liquor stores, but we know I already slept together.
Yeah,
so, I mean.
Now I feel like.
And he ain't that bad of a person. He robbed the liquor stores, but he take me shopping with the money.
We
so it's like,
exactly.
We do.
But you ain't gonna make excuses for somebody that you don't really want to be with, that you ain't gave yourself to. Mm-hmm. Like, nigga, I ain't finna waste no more time. Like, bye. And so I think to me that's when it becomes a mistake, because it's like, I'm in too deep, but I can't, you know, turn back because we'd made it this far. Like, literally one of my coworkers was talking to this guy who was terrible to her. She was like, I mean, but look how long we've been talking. You know, we've been through so much. Like, why would I just want to get that up? Mm-hmm. Because it's not good for you. It's not healthy. And don't get me wrong, I know it's much easier said than done, because everybody has been in a situation with that Mr. Wrong. But to me, I just think it's a much easier break when it's not a soul time ball.
Of course, that is true. I remember, yeah, I have a kind of good story, I guess, to go along with that. I've experienced a lot with my sexuality in general, but I feel like I just have a lot of different free views. But one of those was that I wanted to be celibate for quite some time, and I ended up getting into a relationship. And I still remained celibate because I didn't, well, for a period of time. Because I was like, you know, I mean, it was a means of discipline for me, honestly.
You said for a period of time. So when being in that relationship, what was the turning point where you was like, you can get some coochie?
Yeah,
like,
see, that's what I'm saying.
What was the turning point?
It was, I would say, after about 5 months of actually dating, 8 months of, you know, like the in general of us like talking and all that stuff. So it had been a while to me, because I had been celibate before he came along. But I mean, one, I was really just extremely sexually attracted to him anyway, as well as the fact that I was like, you know what, I actually feel like we are gonna get married. So it's just like, you know what, I being celibate for me was not about not liking sex, because I love it. So I missed it, and I was just like, you know what? I think I'm safe with him. He's been patient, which is automatically a turn on, honestly, to us women. So that's whenever I was like, you know what? We can go ahead and get it popping. Honestly, we just missed each other a lot. And it kind of happened. And I was like, you know what? I don't do anything just one time. So we gonna have sex now. We gonna make it work.
Do you feel like there was a turning point or a downfall for you all?
It was not completely. We had other stuff that was turning points, but I can agree that I remember telling him before, you know, if you want to act up, I need you to do it
before
while we not fucking. Because I mean, it would have been easier, honestly. It would have been a lot easier if he would have, you know, messed up or wanted to be with somebody else beforehand, before we took it there. Because it was like, to me, it was a seal of love.
Did it make it harder for you to leave?
It did make it hard to leave for other good reasons. But no. Because honestly, anytime that I consciously make the decision to go ahead and have sex with somebody, I'm completely fine with whatever the outcome is going to be.
And what about you, Vanessa? You a free open soul, or you a closed door?
I'm a super duper closed door. Closed book.
What's your reasoning behind it?
Like I said before, like, I can't see myself just openly having sex with multiple people. Like, I feel like there's a lot of meaning behind, well, there should be a lot of meaning behind having intercourse with people. I feel like it has to be like somebody you actually care about.
For it to be good, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. For it to be good, you hit it. No, for it to be, I couldn't say. I don't know, because I never really like had somebody that I was just having sex with that I didn't care about. So yeah, but I just feel like it has to be like, I guess, meaningful, but not necessarily, because there is like some instances where like you could be not necessarily in a relationship with someone, but
that's Bay calling now, ain't it?
It's Bay calling, telling him to come pick that meat up.
No, but I feel like you can be, you cannot necessarily be in a relationship with someone, but you still like, you still have sex with them, but you still have like those feelings for them.
That kind of seems worse to me though.
It's very toxic,
called a situationship, ladies, and we all have been there, done that with a non-committer, and it's honestly the worst feeling in the world.
Whenever they leave your ass because you thought you had some.
I can change his mind. He ain't gonna be like that for long.
Right.
Believe when a man tell you something, believe it. If a man tell you he don't want a relationship, believe it. Don't go into something thinking that you can change his mind.
Please don't. And men, y'all need to take the advice as well.
Yeah, y'all need to stop doing that shit too.
When we say no, just leave.
I don't know. I done had somebody change my mind before about a relationship. He laughed his ass right onto my heart. He was funny as hell. Funny dudes are the best type of guys, because when everything is just like lighthearted and sweet, like this, serious niggas are the worst.
But you know what? That's my unpopular opinion. I do not like funny guys.
You don't?
I don't.
Why?
I just feel like they're so corny. They try so hard. Like, you trying to make me laugh and it's just annoying.
But no, you have to think about it. Like,
keep a camera all up in your face all the time. Like, just joke too much. Come on, man. Just.
Think about me.
Be naturally
how naturally funny I am.
Funny dudes, I think is the.
I ain't never been able to deal with one personally. I just
a don't. Naturally funny guy. Mm-hmm. I just feel like if you don't have.
I think I'm too quiet for that.
But you know I'm goofy.
Mm-hmm.
So like I can't, you know, be putting out some of my best work telling jokes and sitting. You just sitting up there looking at me crazy. Because I am goofy, and that's like a part of me that like. If you're a super serious person, it's not going to be easy to deal with, or eventually you're going to get annoyed with it. So, I mean, I like to play, dance.
I like you as a friend, you know what I'm saying? But
you don't think you can date me?
Hell no. What you mean?
Is it because I'm too emotional?
No. We talking about being funny at this point. You going to be trying to tell jokes at 3 o'clock in the morning while I'm in the bed. Like
I ain't telling no damn jokes last night.
I'm just giving an example. Like, as a girlfriend in a like girlfriend boyfriend situation, I'd just be like, man, come on.
Yeah, I have to date somebody who's naturally funny, like
supernatural.
You think you can date me?
Hell no.
It's a little too. Oh my goodness, it's a little too funny.
Am I a little too funny, or
it's great for friendship?
Am I just too emotional?
No, why is you going back to emotions?
Because I know y'all think I'm dramatic.
She is.
I'm going.
She is dramatic and emotional. And
but that's not what we're talking about. Being dramatic keeps things fresh.
Hell no. Mm-mm.
You roll over to an argument, then we got to make up like this. Shit is see, bad.
I'm completely different. Like I don't like confrontation.
Oh no, drama.
So,
you deal with it well, though. No
yeah, I do. That's the thing about me.
Cause I shut down, baby.
we've gotten so much better, because I remember when we were at your house for your birthday, having a conversation about Charlamagne and like how you disagree with his views on something, and we were going back and forth, arguing, but it was more like an intellectual debate.
Yeah, it wasn't like. No.
But it was like when we finished, it was like, all right, let's go get some food.
Yeah.
Like back in the day. We closing. I'm going to my room. She going to her room. They ask me for no lotion or no soap. Like, this it. Then I might slide in. You want to go to the movies? So I might come back on her. You want to go to the movies? That's the thing. Like,
you can stay lighthearted.
I find it easy to find when I'm wrong. Like, I might not find it in that moment. But I'm really big on self-reflection. And if I'm ever in a situation where it's like, and maybe I shouldn't have said that. Like, I'll come back and correct it.
Yeah.
I've grown to that. Like, I used to be like, I don't give a fuck if the bitch thought I was wrong or not. Shit. But now it's just like, you know what? Like, I go talk to God and God would be like, he was wrong. And I was like, you're right, God, I was wrong. And let me go try to make it right. And so, I think in any relationship, it's so important. Even in the moment, because you're trying to defend yourself. People don't always say, I was wrong. But I think it's really important to be able to, like, revisit it and say, you know what? I shouldn't have slapped you in the mouth with my dick while you were asleep. Like, just to be in a situation and know that, like, I shouldn't have said this. I think even in friendships, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I think people put so much weight on just romantic relationships. And it's like relationships in general reveal a lot about yourself.
I honestly, I don't think I could have a really emotional friend.
I don't. I have somebody who's trying
only
to
have one. You either gonna be that one,
or you gonna. And that's the thing. Like, one. I know I'm a lot, and like one of my coworkers wants to be my friend, but she's really like
she
one of her friends lost touch with her for a little while, and then came back and asked her for like to hang out mm-hmm. or to be like a part of this social group with her. And she came to me and was talking to me about it, and she was just like, "You don't talk to me, da da da, and now you want to come around." And in my head, I was like, "This petty as fuck. Like, she's just trying to hang out with you." And then the girl kind of, you know, was like, "Well, you know, we're both adults. We lead different lives. I have a child and a husband, and so I'm not as accessible as I used to be."
Which is gonna happen.
And the girl was like, "But you make, you know, you find time to do what you want to do. That's a part of living life." And I think it's so important to know that you can have a friend. Y'all don't have to talk every day. Mm-hmm. You can have a friend, and it's okay to not make it to all of the events. And to be okay with that. And mm-hmm. to not say, well, fuck her. She just, you know, she's so busy in her own world, she ain't got time for me. You got to be so busy in your own world that you can't dwell on somebody having a life.
Yeah. And if it affects you like that, just talk about it. Communication is key. Even outside of romantic relationships.
Because I mean, the friendships are the ones that last forever. Romantic relationships come and go. But a really good friend is a diamond in the rough. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, because we come across, like, people have ulterior motives. Like, might have a friend that's your friend because you got a call. Or, I mean, they just call you every time something wrong because they know you're a listening ear. Mm-hmm. And it's just a draining. And it's, you know, you drinking out the cup, but you're not filling it back up.
Correct.
And so... I just always try to be balanced in my friendships. And the ones that really mean something to me, I try to hold on to them. Like, you guys mean the world to me. And so...
You mean the world to us, too.
When I'm wrong or when I go off on a dramatic tangent, I have to come back and say, you know what? I was tweaking. And I hope they forgive me. And you know, whatever the case may be. But the thing about it is, y'all understand me.
Yeah, that's essential.
I feel so like I'm still getting personal. To know you in a sense, though.
Yeah, I've changed so much.
You, because I honestly feel like you're...
Oh, my gosh, I really do.
You're so much harder than you used to be.
Oh, my gosh.
You are, like, what is it, last night?
I am.
We're going to take a little bit of a break, you guys. We're going to go ahead and wrap this up, okay? Again, this is Dee Dee's Daily Dose, and we'll be right back with you.